All right, what a wonderful song. Praise the Lord. Okay. Wow. We're going to be looking in the book of Acts today, Acts chapter number 3. While you turn there, I'm going to share a little bit more of testimony, if that's okay. Okay, good. So one time I was teaching a class of English as a second language. And if you know how good at grammar I was, that'd be pretty funny, because my wife is the grammar nerd, and I'm not. She was with us in the class, though, and it wasn't so bad, because I was teaching more of a conversational English, you know, and so that was fun. And I did this, and as a missionary or a church planner, you find yourself doing funny things like this because you want to meet people. And I love meeting new people. And so we taught this class for, 6 or 8 weeks, and it was really fun. And I was really hoping to meet some people, and we did meet people. I was hoping to lead some of them to Christ, but none of those relationships panned out. The story doesn't end there. That would have been a horrible story. But the lady that asked me to teach the class, to volunteer to teach this class, I sat in her office one day after this, and we talked about what perhaps we would do next, and was able to talk to her about the Lord, and shared the gospel, and what it means to me, what it means to me to know God, and it really spoke to her, and it changed her life. And it was a really, really cool day. And at that time, we didn't really have anybody coming to church, and I think she came the one time there, and she shared some things about herself, and I don't think she was planning on coming back. And several weeks later, possibly a couple months later or several months later, she showed up at church, and she told us that she came here by accident. She said, "I typed the Baptist church into Google Maps, and it took me here." And so she says it was an accident, or she's actually looking for some other church, and not us. And so that made me feel really good, but we were glad she came. And I don't know, something happened that Sunday. God spoke to her, and she really expressed her desire to come back. It was really bizarre. And, you know, she said that she had moved out and her fiancé was going to move out as well because he worked with the military. We have a military base there. And eventually they got married and she kept coming out. And then he started coming out and then he gained assurance of his salvation. And we baptized her that summer. And I believe he was baptized the following year. And since then, we've seen a number of stories like that. And another gentleman that ended up coming to church, he called me out of the blue and said, "Do you teach the Bible?" And I said, yes, I do, actually. Does anybody in town that likes teaching the gospel or the Bible? I think I am definitely up there in the people that like to teach the Bible. So he said, great, when can we meet? So I met him and started teaching the Bible. You get saved, and we baptized him. And he started coming to church and growing, and this guy was so excited. Like, I don't know if you've ever met somebody that gets saved, and they're just like a firecracker, and they're just so excited about the gospel. Has to tell everybody. It was very exciting for him. And since then, we've just been meeting people like that and sharing the gospel with them and teaching them, and they come to church. And a big part of the focus shift for us was not simply just saying, come to church, but it was, do you want to meet and talk about the Bible, talk about God? And I kind of made that shift because I may have been slightly embarrassed to bring people to a church where there was three people attending. But it was very exciting for me at the time to meet with people and build a relationship with them and share the gospel and God's word and see them grow. And it was truly wonderful. And so we continue to have new couples come out and grow. One more story before I get started in Acts. I met another guy who came out to church. Someone brought him to church, and he said that he was reading the Bible, okay? He was a science and math teacher, okay, at a local high school, and he taught things like evolution and everything else that you might learn at a public high school, and he was reading the Bible one day because he had to do some sort of world religions class, and he ends up coming to Jesus and getting saved and realizing that evolution isn't real, but God is real and he created the world. And it was learning all of this that really brought him to the place of salvation. And now I've been discipling him and another gentleman on Tuesday mornings at Tim Hortons. And that's one of our locations where we meet. It's like Tim Hortons Church. And it's pretty fantastic. Sometimes I usually get the farmer's breakfast wrap with sausage and bacon. Not just sausage, not just bacon. And that's for real farmers. And and so we meet there, and I've been discipling for just over a year now. And I think it was last month, April, January, February, March. In March, I believe he started playing guitar for us in our service. And so he plays the acoustic guitar, and we sing our songs. And Amanda now is playing the piano with him as well. And it's just such a blessing to see him in church. And he brings his family, and I don't believe his wife is saved yet, but we're praying for her, and she's coming out pretty faithfully too. And it's just so, so exciting to see God adding to the church. And people, I guess, I can't think of the passage, but there, people in Labrador really seem to be searching, you know. Something about blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And that's how I feel about a lot of people out there. They're searching. They want to know God's word. They want to find the truth. And we know where the truth is found, right? Amen. The word of God. And so today we're going to be looking at Acts chapter number 3. The title of my message today is Faith Brings Action. Faith Brings Action. And what we see here I've got notes all over my Bible here. In Acts 3, Acts chapter number 3, we've been looking here, if you know the passage, the healing of the lame man, and how we ourselves are completely incapable of coming to God. And this man was helpless because he could not walk. He could not walk. He could not go anywhere. And I would like to read in Acts 3, verse 11 through number 20. But please, before we do, let's bow our heads and pray. Dear God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the opportunity I have to preach to these people. Lord, I pray that you would fill me with your Spirit, Lord. I pray that you would speak to all of our hearts regarding faith and action. And Lord, I ask you that you would help us to apply the truth of your word to our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so in Acts chapter number 3, verse number 11, it says, And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye also earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, and the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him his perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before hath showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. So here again, we see that this lame man was healed, that we ourselves are incapable of coming to Christ on our own. Absolutely, we have to choose Christ. And it says here that it was by faith in Jesus Christ that this man was healed, by faith in the name. It says, the lame man which was healed. Isn't it awesome that God still wants to heal us? Amen. I mean, before we know Christ, I mean, we are broken. We are, and the amazing picture about this, and I love it, is that it's an amazing contrast between the law and grace of God. And I don't know if these people that were at the temple that day realized it, but this lame man was kind of a picture of what they were. And I might be getting my head ahead of myself here in the sermon, but it's neat to think about the law. The law has no legs. So you can't get to heaven with law. We are incapable of coming to Christ through the law, and what a tremendous example that this lame man showed all of those men that were thinking that it was the law that would bring them to God. But this lame man held Peter and John. Now, he could have been holding them because his new legs maybe were tired after running a few laps around the temple. Or maybe he was holding out to them for just for gratefulness, for their willingness to come and to share Christ with him. It doesn't say. But it does say that the people ran together unto them and were and greatly wondered. They were amazed. How is it that this man that was incapable of walking is now leaping and jumping and praising God, as the great children's hymn says? But when you take a step of faith, I guarantee you, people are going to wonder. When you take a step of faith, people are going to wonder, how did this happen? What was it that got into them that is now equipping them to do this? And the truth is that when we decided to go to Labrador, it wasn't me. It wasn't Darren saying, I'd like to go to a tropical place and preach the gospel, or even go to a cold place that is beautiful and that has boreal forests and polar bears and icebergs and seals and all sorts of neat things. But we went there because we were trying to exercise our faith in Jesus Christ. And we wanted to share what God has done in us with the people of Labrador. The people greatly wondered, and we see that there in verse number 11. And so verse number 12, it says, Peter took opportunity to speak, and he deflected. This is interesting. So it said the people ran together into Solomon's porch and greatly wondered. And Peter, when he saw it, he answered and said unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us? As though by our own power of holiness we had made this man to walk. Peter took this opportunity to speak, but he deflected the praise towards God. And this is important for us to remember. And I mean, for anybody that's in ministry or trying to live for God, you understand that living the Christian life has nothing to do with me. Nothing. And I think that's Peter here was just a matter of fact saying, look, this has nothing to do with me and everything to do with God. Amen. And how wonderful is that? Because when we act, it's because of our faith in God. We can't take the credit for it because we know that it wasn't us, it was God. True faith knows where the action comes from. Peter had faith in God, which no doubt let him speak to the lame man, which resulted in the lame man believing and being healed. I mean, when the lame man said, hey, can you help me? Peter, what did he say? Silver and gold have I none. He's like, I can't help you monetarily. I can't help you, you know, maybe the way you're looking to be helped. And probably some of the most exciting words to me in the Bible, he says, but such as I have, give I thee. Whew. That's all we need is Jesus Christ. And Peter, I mean, this wonderful, beautiful time in Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2, chapter 3, they had emptied themselves. They were praying for the Holy Spirit's power to fill their lives. And Peter went out and took every opportunity to share the gospel. I mean, he was going to church, and he ends up sharing the gospel with somebody. He ends up showing them Jesus Christ. How awesome is that? And he says, I don't have anything. And that's how true is that? We don't have anything we can offer people of real value. Do you understand that? We don't have anything to offer anybody of real value. Sure, maybe we can help them or buy a coffee for them or help them with some food, and that is good. We should do that. The Bible says, they'll know you're my disciples if you have love one for another. We need to have love for people. And that's a whole nother rabbit trail we could talk on for a long time. As Christians, we need to have love one for another, and the world needs to see that we have love. It's so important. But in verse number 12 here, Peter had faith in God, which no doubt let him speak to the lame man, which resulted in the lame man believing and being healed. But they both recognized that none of what happened was them, it was God. And what's amazing is when you have faith in God, there will inevitably be action. It just happens. When you have faith, there will be action. I mean, there's many other passages we could read. We could look into James and we could talk about all of that. But true faith produces action. In Hebrews 11, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." Faith is proof that something is coming. Amen. We can know that. If you see someone have faith in Jesus, you can be sure that something good is going to happen. And I'll tell you, the ones that I've seen faith in Labrador, their lives are transformed. I was talking to Amanda on the way here this morning from the Harvesters camp, and I was just saying, wow, I am so humbled this morning that when we have faith in God and we follow the scriptures, He blesses our life. I don't deserve that. But when we follow God, He blesses us. When we follow God, I put others first. I do what's right. And that's not because of me. I don't know if you're seeing it this morning, guys, but I am the lame man. You are the lame man in this story. We are incapable of living a life that's worth anything without Jesus. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, the Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The neat thing about living the Christian life and living the faith life is when you're living in faith, it isn't our own works. What it ends up being is the fruit of the Spirit. It's the works that God wants to work through you. And that helps us stay humble. And now we see in verse number 16, the Bible says, And his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now we see this man's faith in the name of Jesus. He was healed, and he leapt up and walked around. What this illustrates is that you have to have faith to be saved. You have to believe. It's not enough to say, oh, well, I went to church on Sunday, which is a good thing to do. Or I give to charity, which is a good thing to do. Or I give to missionaries, that's a good thing. We must have faith in Jesus Christ. Without Him, we are incapable of living a life that is purposeful, that's meaningful, a life that is full of peace. What this illustrates is that we have to have faith. And just like with this lame man, action followed faith. The same is true with Peter and John. Let's go back to verse number 13. It says, "The God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, and the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go." This isn't really like a statement you would say to make friends. This is a pretty bold statement. But Peter points to their God. He mentions the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob. Peter points to their denial, and then Peter points to their determination, okay? So he points to their God, he points to their denial, okay? So they didn't accept Jesus, and then in the last phrase it says they were determined. When he was determined to let him go. Pilate was determined to let them go, but they were determined to see him die. What we see here through this story and what Peter is trying to share here is that Christ's deity was on display. He was trying to explain that this is the way of salvation. Jesus is the way to have a relationship with God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In verse number 14, it says, "But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you." The people chose their sin over God. They would rather see a murderer be set free than to accept Jesus. We know that it was the sin of the people, and it is our sin that put Jesus on the cross. And what these men weren't doing is they weren't accepting that truth. Can we just accept the truth this morning that it was my sin and your sin that put Jesus there? And so when we accept that, then Christ can come into our life. When I'm back home in Labrador, I share a very simple truth about sort of the story of humanity. And basically, Adam and Eve were in the garden, right? And they were living in submission to God until one day when they chose not to submit to God. They chose their own sin over God. And the redemption story of Jesus Christ is that he is allowing us to choose him again. He gives us the opportunity to choose him over our sin. Will you choose God over your sin today? Will you walk in faith so that God can produce action in your life? A silly phrase came to mind just now. I may have said it even here before. Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. And basically, talk is cheap, right? We know how to... I know growing up in a Christian home, you learned very well how to look the part. God's asking for faith. so that he can live through us and produce the actions that will bring him glory. In verse number 10, it says, and they killed, it says, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. I mean, the boldness of Peter, I mean, they just experienced some amazing things, and now he's going right into the temple, just preaching the word of God, preaching that the Messiah has come. He is the Prince of Life, he said here. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? In John 11, 25, he also said that I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is life. Sin brings death. What will you choose? Romans 1 verse 8, Jesus said, you will be witnesses of me. And that word, the word witnesses there is where we actually get the word martyr for, okay? And so what would happen in these times is they would use any means necessary to compel people to speak the truth. And what Jesus was asking of his disciples here, of his followers, that they would be compelled to speak the truth to the world. I want to ask you today, are you compelled to speak the gospel of Jesus to the world? We don't know how much time we have left here on earth. None of us do. Jesus said that it wasn't Jesus, that Christ's love compels us. It motivates us. It's the love of Christ that motivates us. And he said here in Romans 1:8 that you will be witnesses. They are testifying of the resurrection power to save. I mean, that's what Peter was doing here. Notice how it said that in verse number 15, I believe, that he said, you know, he was dead and now he's alive and we are witnesses of this. They are testifying of this truth. Will we go out and testify of the truth that Jesus is alive? He is risen, right? Amen. That's something to get excited about. Amen. That's something that you might want to tell your neighbor. That's something that you might want to tell everybody you see. And I know for me as a church planter, I've had to get a little bit more strategic. You know, there was a time where I just might tell every single person I see, and that's good. But it's not always maybe the first thing that needs to come out of your mouth. It's really helpful to show people that you care about them, show them that you love them, show them that that you want to be a friend. And Peter here was testifying of the fact that Jesus Christ was alive. And see, that was significant to these people here, because if Jesus has power over death, then that means that we can too. That means that through Jesus Christ, we can have power over sin and death. And we don't have to be bound to that anymore. We can be set free through faith in Jesus Christ. We see the power of Christ's name in verse number 16. I love this. And it says, and his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong. Did you know without Jesus, I am weak? Without Jesus, I am that lame man. We see the power of Jesus' name. In Acts, it talks about power. You will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's like saying you're going to receive dynamite. You know what happens when you're at work? If anybody works construction, or maybe they're trying to get rid of a tree or something in their front yard, and the boss brings out dynamite, there's something big's going to happen, right? But Jesus, their master, says you're going to receive dynamite power, okay? And you'll be witnesses of me. We are lame. We are incapable without the power of Christ. The Word of God says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why? Because it's the power of God unto salvation. Amen. We can have power through Jesus Christ, through faith in Him, through faith in His resurrection, and we can be witnesses of that. See, when you are truly convinced of the transforming power of God in your life, nobody in this world can stop you from sharing that. Amen. I mean, they can do whatever they want, but I'm going to keep telling people about Jesus because it's not something that I can keep to myself. Because He's transformed me, and the blessing of being a missionary and a preacher of the Word of God is that you get to see God transform other lives too. And there is no greater feeling than seeing that happen. Amen. Whew, it is powerful, guys. And you know what's amazing is that this isn't just for missionaries. It's not just for pastors. You get to share Jesus too. Are you excited about that? A little bit excited, okay. Something we can work with. I am excited to share Jesus Christ. And you get to be excited too. You get to share Jesus with the world. And you say, that is scary. Does anybody think that's scary? Maybe a little bit. The thing is that you don't have to do it in your power. God will give you the power. Amen. And when you just simply say, okay, God, I'm going to take you at your word. Darren says that you will give me power. And what you need to do is simply have faith and say, okay, God, I believe there's somebody in Hamilton you want me to speak to. I am going to step out in faith, and you're going to show me that person. And you know what the crazy thing is? He's going to show you that person. Time after time after time, He shows me those people in Labrador. I'm looking all the time. Could be the person you meet in Walmart, you know. Could be somebody you meet at Tim Hortons or McDonald's. Make friends with them. Tell them about Jesus. It's not complicated. That's what I love about God's word and about what He's asked me to do, is that it really isn't complicated. Sometimes I need God to dumb things down for me. God's simply asking me and you to tell people about the gospel. I tell people in my church all the time, I say, even if you come and tell me, Darren, I've only been saved for a week, you can tell somebody about the gospel. Did you know that? All you have to do is share with them the experience you had. I was a sinner, I was this way, and then God transformed me. That's it. And you know what? Sometimes those testimonies are even more beautiful than, you know, perhaps the way I might go about it. Because they're so simple and so true. I was a sinner, and now God changed me. And that's so beautiful. We see power in Christ's name. And when you take the name of Christ with you, he will be with you and he will give you power. And he will show you that person that is ready to receive God. Verse number 17, the Bible says, "And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, and did also your rulers." I see what Peter's doing here now. He's given them an out. That's very kind of him. He came down hard on them. "You guys were so bad. You crucified Christ." But now he's saying, "Well, maybe you did it in ignorance." That's very kind of him. They were guilty. But the truth is that they didn't know God's plan. They didn't know God's plan. And Peter is saying, "You know what? You did that in ignorance. Maybe you'd be willing to trust and believe like this lame man just did." They were guilty, but they didn't know God's plan. But the truth of the matter is that they had been told God's plan. You want to know something really neat? In the next verse, it says here, "But those things which God before had showed you by the mouth of his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled." And what's really neat, I love this psalm. Let's turn to Psalm 22 really quickly. Psalm chapter number 22. And so maybe they weren't as ignorant as he had thought, as he was saying. But it says here, I'm just going to read a few verses here. It says, "My strength is dried up," in verse 15, "and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me about; the assembly of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones; they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me." And this is sort of it is quite a prophetic passage to what would someday happen to the Messiah. He had told them of his plan. God had told everybody of his plan in the past through the prophets, through great passages we find in Psalms. And then lastly, guys, I just wanted to share, Peter gave them their chance. In verse number 19, this is what he's saying. He's like, "Okay, we all know that God had a plan for humanity. He wanted to save us all from our sins. He wants to restore that relationship we had in the garden with him." And so now Peter's giving these men a chance. He says in verse number 19, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Repent means to feel true remorse for your sin, okay? Repent means to, you know, you were going one way, and now you're going a different way, okay? But the work in the Bible goes even further to indicate one turning away from one's sin and surrendering to God. And again, just as we mentioned before, you can choose sin and yourself, or you can choose God. There's no other choices. You can choose God, or you can choose your sin. And the Bible talks about the truth of sin and what it will do to you. Sin will destroy you. I've had a lot of friends and family that have chosen sin instead of God. And it makes me very sad to see where their life has taken them. And that's why I am so humbled by the fact that God saved me. Amen. It's not of me. It's all because of him. Peter's asking him there to be converted, to change their minds about what they thought of Jesus. I have converted many things. In my life, I've converted lots of different things. Does anybody like finding old things and changing what they were originally used for? I do it all the time, you know. And for instance, we were given an old ski lodge out in Labrador. It's old, it was kind of abandoned, run down. And guess what we did with it? We made a church. We run a church building from that, and it was converted from that to a new thing. Peter was giving these men the opportunity to have faith in Jesus and receive him into their lives and be converted, to be transformed, to be renewed. Isn't that exciting?
Amen.
That God takes us and wants to convert us, to transform our lives, to make us new creatures. He didn't have to do that, but he wanted to do that. He wanted to have a relationship with you, and he now is asking us to tell others about it so that we can bring more friends to him so that they can have relationships with God too. Peter was giving them the opportunity to have faith in Jesus and receive them into their lives. He was trying to show that, yes, Jesus did many wonderful things while he was on earth. But look, even after his death and resurrection, he is still doing amazing things, and you can have him too. This lame man just stood up and walked. And just like that lame man, you can get up and walk too. You can have a new life. You can do things that you never thought were possible because of the power of Jesus Christ. You think your old life will never let you go? It will. You simply have to receive Jesus Christ, and he will transform you. It's not your job to become a perfect Christian. It happens when we surrender to Jesus Christ. And I pray that you would do that today. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for this day. Lord, thank you for your love that you show us. Lord, thank you that just like that lame man, you come to us.